This will be part number 11 of our study in the Gospel of Mark. Lord willing, we're going to look at those last few verses in this chapter, verses 23 through 28 in the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn there to Mark chapter 2 and verse 23, we'll be reading our text from. And if when you get there, if you're able to, let's stand tonight for the reading of God's Word, Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23. And here the Bible says, "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you help us as we go through this text, Lord, that you'll be glorified. Help me be able to understand the best I can through the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you illuminate the scripture, and Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, as we continue here in our studies of Mark, we find that once again, these Pharisees are up to their old ways. And we already in all of our studies, we've seen how they've always had to try to interject themselves into Jesus' life and trying to find some problem with Jesus and or his disciples. They would love to find something that they could claim was Jesus was teaching heresy or something along that line, something to go against the law and be able to do something about it, because they literally hated him. And so they were always looking for some reason to find fault with him. And so, just as we've seen all along, here they are, and the Bible says it's on the Sabbath day this time. Now, over in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 6 and 1, it says it's the second Sabbath after the first. Now, that may be a little difficult to understand sometimes, because that's the only place in the Bible where that particular phrase is used. However, the best that I can understand this is that it's referring to the second Sabbath of the seventh of the seven Sabbaths leading up to Passover. And so leading up to Pentecost would be that, the festival of the Feast of Pentecost. And so there were seven Sabbaths leading up to that. This is the second one of those. And it's also called the sheaf wave offering time. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time dealing with that tonight. We can discuss that some other time. We look at the special days and the observances of the Jews. But I want to stress to you tonight, we're talking about a day that is special to these Jews. It always has been. And the Pharisees especially are going to try to uphold all their laws, their traditions, everything on the Sabbath. And so they're going to be very much looking at everything that Jesus does on that day in particular. It says that they went through the cornfields, and the disciples began to pluck the ears of corn. Now, I hate to burst anybody's bubble in here tonight that thinks they know what this corn is talking about. But what you need to understand is when the Bible's talking about corn, it's not talking about the kind of corn that we usually eat. An ear of corn, like Joe grows in the garden, and you get the ears and you pull off the outside and you eat them. It's not talking about that kind of corn. They didn't even have that kind of corn in that day. That's called maize or Indian corn, and that's what we use here in the United States. That type of corn wasn't discovered really until 1621, when the Pilgrims come. The Indians introduced the corn to them, and so the King James writers in 1611 would not know about this corn that we know of. So when they mention corn, and still, by the way, in England, they still refer to wheat, barley, and oats, and rye as corn, and so that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about the stalks and the ears of corn like we are familiar with. And so it's talking about wheat or barley or oats or some type of grain like that. And it was called the same thing. They would call it ears and sheaths and different things. But I hope I didn't really upset you by telling you that. I remember the first time that I understood it clearly, and it that picture I always had in my mind of the disciples going through a cornfield like I was used to, you know, going through there and picking ears off the stalks and shucking them and everything. Well, it burst my bubble. But we can tell exactly what they're doing by reading over, actually, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 1. It tells us what they did with this. It says, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat," and listen, it says, "rubbing them in their hands." And so what they did, they would take this wheat, and they would put it in their hands, and they would do it like this, and they would knock the outer coating off of it to separate the chaff from it. And then they would eat the wheat that come out of it. And so that's what they were doing. They were rubbing it in their hands. And so look at verse 24 of our text back in Mark chapter 2. It says, "And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" Well, of course, the Pharisees are going to have a problem with anything that Jesus did on the Sabbath. If it looked anywhere out of the ordinary or something that they could, you know, leap on, they're going to do that. And so they accuse him of doing something that's unlawful on the Sabbath day. They're accusing Jesus and his disciples of profaning the Sabbath day of the Lord. Well, first of all, it was not unlawful for them to actually take this wheat or this corn. That's not what they're being accused of. It was lawful. According to the law, they could go to a neighbor's field and glean from it and eat from it if they wanted. So that was not the problem, the accusation they were having. The law of Moses forbid Jews from reaping and threshing on the Sabbath. That's what the law said. And so what had happened, the Pharisees, or the oral tradition that was passed down, you see, the Pharisees and those rabbis, they added a whole bunch of more laws on top of God's laws, on top of the laws of Moses. And so, they changed all the time, or if something new occurred, they would just make a new law. And especially when it was concerning things that occurred on the Sabbath. And so what they did, they took the interpretation of you're not able to glean or reap on the Sabbath, and they turned that into meaning, well, you can't even pluck, you know, corn and you know, do what the disciples were doing. That was considered to them reaping of the wheat here, or the corn. And so they were accusing them of profaning the Sabbath day. And all these laws like this that they interpreted from the law of Moses, this was more or less handed down through oral interpretation and oral tradition. You might hear that quite often, how the Jews held to oral tradition. The Lord often reminded them of that. He would tell them about their tradition of the elders or the tradition of men Jesus would refer to, because the Pharisees held that up on the same level as the law of God. And they tried to bind everybody else under those same laws. Well, because of this, these Pharisees had to keep inventing all these new laws for every particular situation to come up. Now, one of the worst things was, when they did this, it was making men accountable unto men instead of men being accountable unto God. And so if God said, "Thou shalt not do something," and you did that, well, you were accountable to God. But when man says it, when a rabbi says it, when a Pharisee says it, and it wasn't something that God said, then you're obligated to that man, if that man's coming. So the Pharisees were really the religious rulers, you know, of the Jews. And so what they said was basically law for the Jews. And so when they started telling them, you know, well, you're profaning the Sabbath when you're doing this, then to them they were breaking the law, because they held that law up as high as God's law. Well, one of these extra laws that they had added on, of course, was the plucking of corn, and they considered that reaping, and then the rubbing of it was considered threshing. They had many such ridiculous laws out there. I found a few of them. One of them was, they would not allow you to walk on the grass. They called that a form of reaping or threshing. Walking in grass on the Sabbath, or picking a piece of fruit from a tree. They would accuse you of, you know, breaking the law, picking a piece of fruit off a tree. And so the Pharisees held up these oral traditions and laws on the same level as God's laws. And when they spot these disciples out there in the fields, and they're getting this corn, this wheat, and they're rubbing it in their hands and they're eating it, then they call them out on it. And so Jesus, now look in verse 25, what Jesus says to him. It says in verse 25, "And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered. He and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. Well, what he's doing here, of course, he's reminding them of what David did over in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now, we are probably familiar with that. If not, I'm going to read it to you here. But what was going on at the time in David's life, he was fleeing from King Saul. And so while he was fleeing, he didn't have any food to eat. I mean, it was a very quick thing that he did. And so he's fleeing and he goes into another land, to Nob is the land he was in. And he goes there, and this is the land of the priests, by the way. Nob is the land of priests, the Bible tells us. And so when he goes there, he's hungry, and so are his men, the men that were with him. And so for context's sake, I'm going to read this to you, 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king has commanded me a business, and has said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand. But there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of these young men are holy, and the bread is a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So what Jesus is reminding these Pharisees was, of course, is David doing this. And this, of course, the law commanded that they were not supposed to eat of this bread. Only the priest was allowed to eat this bread. They would make up this bread to put there in the temple, and then after so long of a time, they would replace it. Well, the bread that they took out of there, they gave to the priest, and the priest would eat that bread. But nobody else was supposed to eat it because it was hallowed. It had been anointed or sanctified bread. It was the show bread. And so when David's fleeing here from Saul with all of his men and they're hungry, he comes to this land of Nob and the city of priests, and this is the only bread they have to eat. And so he's going to ask for this bread. And so it's out of necessity that David is asking for this bread. Now, of course, David was held in very high esteem by these Jews. These Pharisees, you mentioned David's name, and they're immediately going to take notice because David was the end-all, be-all. You know, David and Abraham, Moses, those three right there is the Jews. I mean, that's what they think about the most. And so when Jesus mentions this about David, he's really rebuking these Pharisees by saying, have you not read? You know, it's kind of like we do, you know, when you know somebody is supposed to know something and you say, do you not know this? You know, Jesus is kind of giving a little rebuke right here. Come on, guys. Of anybody, you all ought to remember this. You're the religious people. You know this story. And so he reminds them of it. And so what Jesus is doing right here, he's implying that the necessity that David had is the same type of necessity that his men are having right now. Even though it's the Sabbath, it's not unlawful for them to eat to fill their stomachs. And so he lays this little truth on them. Look at verse 27. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Well, we know, of course, the Sabbath was instituted there in the Ten Commandments, there in Exodus chapter 20. I believe the fourth commandment is the one concerning the Sabbath. And the Lord actually spends more time discussing that one commandment than he does all the rest of them. I mean, there's several verses of that one commandment, verses Exodus 28 through 11. I'll read that to you. The Bible says, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath of the Lord, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so this was the commandment, of course, concerning the Sabbath. Now this is the Jewish Sabbath. These are the laws that were instituted. Now some people say, well, you know, we live under grace. We don't live under the law, which is true. And some people say, well, because the New Testament doesn't go back and reiterate the Sabbath laws, that we're not bound by that. And while I understand what they're saying, there is still a Sabbath for the Christian. Sabbath actually means a day of rest. And what that is, it's a day for us to rest from our labors, a day for us to worship God and to do spiritual things for the Lord. And so what we do as Christians, New Testament believers, we consider the Lord's Day our Sabbath. It's, you could essentially say it's the Christian Sabbath. And so we, as Christians, we don't observe the Jewish laws or the Jewish Sabbath the way that they did and still do at this day. But we observe what we call the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is the day that the Lord resurrected on a Sunday. And so after the resurrection of Christ, the church or Christians, people that believed in Jesus, followers of Him, began worshiping on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And so we refer to that as essentially our Sabbath. And so this Jewish Sabbath, of course, was on the last day of the week, was Saturday. Our Lord's Day is on the first day of the week. But regardless of that, it is a day of rest from our work and our labors. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants to give us rest. Come unto me all year the weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You know, and so He wants to give us rest. And so the Sabbath, Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Man was made first, and then the Sabbath was made later. And that Sabbath was given to man for a day of rest from his labors. Now we know God rested on the seventh day during creation. You know, 6 days He created this, the heavens and earth and everything that's in it. But on the seventh day, He rested. That was the Sabbath. And so it's a day for us to honor. We set it aside, special, to honor God, to worship. Some people don't have a strict of a view on it as perhaps that I do. And I know we're living under grace, and I understand that. But I still believe that Sundays ought to be different. I think we ought to treat it as a different day. I don't think you ought to work unless you just have to. I'm talking about manual labor. I know some people have to. I understand that. But I think if it's possible that you don't have to do any kind of work on the Lord's Day, I don't think we ought to. I think we ought to spend the Lord's Day dwelling on the things of the Lord. You know, sometimes I will go out to eat on a Sunday. I don't like to. I'll just tell you, I don't like it. Occasionally we will, but it bothers me. So there's certain things, and I'm not going to, I wouldn't go and buy anything large or anything on a Sunday. It's just how I am. Now, am I going to tell you that you're bound for that? No, I'm not telling that you're, you know, that you have to do that. But that's how I feel. I feel that the Lord's Day should be a special day. We ought to devote it to Him. We ought to wake up in the morning thinking this is the Lord's Day, while every day is the Lord's Day. But Sunday, the Lord's Day, is different. It should be special. It should be a day that we observe the things of God. We ought to worship Him. We ought to think of Him. And so, you know, a lot of people don't like that, but that's the way I believe it. Well, Jesus lets them know this, that the Sabbath was not designed for, the man was not designed for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was designed for man. And by the way, He says something else there that they don't like. He says that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Essentially, that's what He's saying. He says, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. He is the Son of Man. And so, it's His Sabbath. Well, they're not going to like that at all. Over in the Gospel of Matthew, we're given a few more details concerning this little event that happened. Matthew 12, 3 through 8, if you want to look at it. Matthew gives us a little additional thing that Jesus said in this case to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. It says, but He said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that which were with him, but only for the priest. And look at verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? All right, now, don't let this confuse you. This is not, Jesus is not saying that the priests were doing something wrong. What he's trying to point out here is the fact that the priests do numerous duties on the Sabbath because it's their priestly duties. I mean, think about all the things the priest had to do. I mean, he had to make the animal sacrifices, you know, drain the blood and sling the blood and offer up the prayers and light the incense and the meat and the fat offerings and all these. So the priest is doing a whole lot of work that the normal person was not really allowed to do because of the laws of the Sabbath. But the priest was not bound by that because it was a necessity for the house of God. And so Jesus is pointing out that you would consider that profaning the Sabbath if anybody else did it, but you wouldn't if the priests are doing it. And they know that's the truth. They would never say anything against the priest because the priests are doing everything they're supposed to do. But not even the Pharisees would condemn that. Well, that's a lot the same today. For example, I, as your pastor, I actually work harder on the Lord's Day than I do any other day of the week. I have to go to work on Monday to get a break. But, you know, there's a lot of leading and singing and preaching and studying and just a lot of things that take place. And so there's a lot of work. But that work that I'm doing is a necessity for the service of God. And so it's not considered what you would call profaning the Lord's Day. And so it's still a day of rest. And when I do have some time available, if I do have a message already ready, the Lord's let me prepare ahead of time, I will just take it easy. I'll just sit in my chair and I'll read my Bible, or I'll sometimes, Kurt, I'll watch NASCAR if it's on. But you know, I treat the Sabbath or Sunday. I'm sorry, not the Sabbath, but Sunday as a day of rest and a day for the Lord. Well, look at verse 6. It says, "But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple." This is still, we're looking in Matthew chapter 12, that we're finishing up that section. "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple, but if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day." And so this is one of those rare occasions when Jesus is actually coming out and telling people who he is. You know, he didn't do that a lot of times. He would make references to the Son of Man or such things like that. But he never did really much come out and just point out the fact that he is the Son of Man. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. But that is exactly what he's doing here. Now, whether or not they realized that or not, I don't know. But I believe they did, because it's not long after this that they're accusing him of calling or healing people with the power of Beelzebub. They want to kill him. And so they understand what he's doing here. He's implying that he is actually the anointed one, the Messiah. And so he says who he is. He says, he more or less is saying, listen, I am greater than the temple. That's essentially what he's saying and implying here. And he mentions the Son of Man is Lord. This is him stating who he is. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is the Holy One. He is the Messiah. And so this is a wake-up call here for these Pharisees. And he calls himself Lord of the Sabbath day. And that's exactly who he is. Well, I talked about this Sunday in the message of how Jesus had always been. He was there in the creation, and he created all things. And without him was not anything created, the Bible says. And so he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the creator. And he created the Sabbath. And it was a day that he created. The Bible says he created it for man to give man rest and not the other way around. And so what the Pharisees were doing, they were holding up the Sabbath up above man. And by doing this, what they were doing, they were binding the Jews so much that the day of rest was no longer a day of rest. It was a day of walking on pins and needles. It was a day of fearing that you were breaking the law. It was a day of not wanting to even go outside your home, because if you did, you get accused of doing something, breaking the law. And so what the Pharisees were doing was completely changing what the Sabbath was, making it the Sabbath was, or the man was created to obey the Sabbath instead of the other way around. And so this was not helpful. And so Jesus is trying to set them straight right here. And so he rebukes them for not understanding the Scripture. He rebukes them for not understanding what God's real temperament is and what God holds important. You see, God places emphasis more on grace and mercy than he does, for instance, the laws of the Sabbath. I mean, he even allows those in necessity to be able to eat. You'd get your own ox out of the ditch, wouldn't you, if it went in there? Yeah. These Pharisees are more concerned about men keeping the law than they are what God is concerned about, love, grace, mercy. Jesus is all those things. And so the Pharisees immediately condemn the disciples and Jesus and accuse them of profaning the Sabbath here. And sadly, I'm afraid that we're all too quick as well to condemn people. A lot of times you see somebody doing something and your little self-righteous pharisaical mind will just all of a sudden, you know, well, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't do that. I'd never do that. And you'll look at them and, you know, you hold your nose up and think you're better than they are. Friends, they're not a one of us any better than anybody else. It's only by the grace of God that we're even able to breathe our next breath. And so, you know, we need to, you know what, one of the things, Christians are one of the worst groups to shoot their own. When something happens and somebody does something, and they're the first ones to condemn them and judge them and want to cast them out. But we ought, you know, we go around bragging and talking about how the Lord had such grace and mercy on us and saved our sorry, wretched soul, and talk about how wonderful it is that God had such mercy on me. What about our mercy on other people? We need to have that same kind of mercy that Jesus has. You know, we go around condemning everybody. We need to think just for a minute, hey, that could be you right there. You know, when I was looking out the window today at work above Gay Street, where so many homeless people are, and I watched those people, and I saw this woman. She was apparently homeless. She was carrying around, you know, all of her stuff, and she got into some argument with a man, and they were screaming back and forth down Gay Street. You could hear it in our office everywhere. That was so loud. And immediately I jumped up, and I was like, who in the world's doing that? You know, I look out the window, and I saw it was that woman, and suddenly it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, she's got a problem. You know, I know she's out there causing a lot of racket and a lot of trouble and everything, but my first thought was to judge whoever that is and condemn them for what they're doing. Do they not know better, you know? And then I look out and I see this is another person. I thought of Jesus, how he looked out upon those people and saw them as sheep having no shepherd, and how she needs somebody. She needs some help. And listen, we ought to have such compassion on people instead of condemnation and judgment. We rush too quick to judge and condemn people. I'm afraid sometimes we become modern-day Pharisees. Well, I'm going to stop right here tonight, and Lord willing, we'll pick up next Wednesday by looking at chapter 3, and we'll see where Jesus heals a man with a withered hand, and then multitudes of other people. And then it's going to talk about the ordaining of the 12 disciples. We get that big list of all the disciples again. And so we're going to talk about that, Lord willing, next Wednesday. And so I'd like for us to come together and pray for folks tonight. We've got several out sick, several having problems right now. I've got a prayer.